Hey, if you have a Bible, everybody, how many brought their Bibles to church tonight? Few people. Hey, that's great. Let's hear for those Bible people. Let's get some lights on so that you can see what you're reading in your Bibles. But we're going to be in two places tonight. And I'm so like far away, I feel like, because the stage extension isn't here. So anyway, I'm probably going to come down to this little pit here in a bit. But Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, and then we're going to be looking at another portion of Scripture, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 25. So Ephesians chapter 5 and Galatians chapter 5. Okay, if you guys can mark your Bibles in there. Cody talked about last weekend the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit's role is in our lives. We've started a series now 3 weeks in. I taught the first one and shared that the Holy Spirit is not a force. It's not a power that, you know, we can harness in and take advantage of, but the Holy Spirit is a person meant to have a relationship with. And that's really important because so many people around the world are confused by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Who is he? What is it? What is it all about? Is it important for my life? And as a Christian, it's everything. He is everything. As we see him work perfectly together with Jesus and with the Father, they're one. In three persons. We believe in the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we're talking about the Holy Spirit through this series. And so we're looking at how do we respond to him? And what does the Holy Spirit want to do in our lives? And we're going to find out in those verses. But I've called this message, Keep in Step. Can you say that with me? Keep in step. Let's say that again, everybody. Come on. Keep. There you go. Keep in step. Because Paul tells us here, that if we have life in the Holy Spirit, and you better believe if you're a Christian, you have life in the Holy Spirit. If you have life in the Holy Spirit, then you ought to be walking in the Holy Spirit. You ought to be walking in step with his lead and his guide and his direction in your life, because that is the way to live. And so we're calling it that because the Holy Spirit in your life requires some consistency. It requires some day-to-day devotion. It's not just a one-time thing. It's an ongoing relationship that you have with the Holy Spirit. Any strong relationship requires that, right? Consistency, devotion. Like, I wouldn't have a good relationship with my wife if I never spent any time with her. I wouldn't have a good relationship with friends if I never talked to them, and the same is true for you. You can't have a good friendship if you're never talking and hanging out and spending time with those friends. You can't be a part of a really good, strong team if you're not in step with the coach, right? You're not following his calling. You're not leading. You're not following his example. If you're not doing that, you're not going to have a very powerful team at all. And so it requires consistency. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, but how often are we spending time just to let the Holy Spirit do his thing? The Holy Spirit is our guide. The Holy Spirit is God, and we have him living inside of us if you're a believer, but how often are we actually letting him lead us? You know, Cody talked about, I thought it was real convicting last week when, you know, where are we bringing the Holy Spirit in our lives? Because if he's in us and he wants to do a work through us, then by refusing that is to refuse God and to be in a very dangerous place. But we have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. James chapter 4, verse 5 says that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, yearns jealously. What does that mean? It means that the Holy Spirit doesn't want to share you with the world. He wants you for God. He wants you for Christ. He wants you to be committed to one God and not many idols in your life and not other things, not things of this world. He wants all of you. So being a Christian means walking daily, in step with his lead and his direction. You say, okay, well, Kelly, how do I do that? How do I walk by the Spirit? How do I keep in step with the Spirit? Well, I'm really glad you asked. I'm going to give you two things. If you're taking notes, we're going to go through this pretty quickly. Two things that we need to know if we're going to let the Spirit lead us, the Holy Spirit, God, be our master, be our Lord in our lives as believers. The two things that we need to know that are going to help us live daily. The first one is found in Ephesians chapter 5. So if you have your Bible, open it up there, Ephesians 5, 18. And let's look at Paul's letter, just one little verse. Paul says, Don't be, I'll give you a couple more seconds to get there. He says, don't be, what's that word? Don't be drunk with the holy, with, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul, when he says this word, it's a little confusing if we don't understand the context and the original language that he's spoken in and what he meant by this. He isn't just saying be filled like once by the Holy Spirit, although when we come to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to reside in us. That's a given. But Paul says, in addition to that, be filled. He's saying not just a one-time thing. The original Greek speaks of a continuous, a present continuous tense. So he's basically saying this, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a continual daily thing. Like I said, the relationship that we have requires some consistency. The Holy Spirit wants a relationship with you, an ongoing relationship. And so I think that's really important to continually. Now, what do I mean? Well, it's a day-by-day thing as we welcome and as we allow the Holy Spirit into our lives. Don't rely on yesterday's power to get you through today. Don't rely on yesterday's. A lot of people do this, a lot of Christians. They rely on yesterday's power to get them through and to hold them over till today. And I'm reminded by my own phone, my own technology, because it's constantly dying. I told you this a few weeks ago. My phone's always on like low power mode, you know, 5%, 10%. I'm constantly clicking on like low power mode. Go on, you know, because I'm going to die. My phone's going to die. And then I'll die because I'm so attached and so addicted. Pray for me. But, you know, like, and so, but I don't charge my phone every night. I should. You know why? Real talk here. I sleep on the one side of the bed that doesn't have an outlet. Okay? My wife, she just is the boss, I guess, because she has an outlet on her side of the bed and she charges her phone every night, but I'm too lazy to get an extension cord or maybe I'm just, I don't know, I have issues leaving my phone like in the bathroom charging or on the other side of the room because I'm like, oh, it's all by itself, you know? And I like to go to bed with my phone. Anybody else do that? That's probably not the best thing to do, right? To have your phone with you. I'm like, just cuddling with it. You know, I check my Instagram, text messages, all that stuff in bed. And actually, you know, by the way, have you guys seen the new update with like night mode? Saving our eyes, right? Saving us. So thank you, Apple. But anyway, what am I saying? I digress. Okay, so I don't charge it every day, so my phone stays on low power. Now, I think a lot of Christians live this way. They rely on yesterday's filling when the Holy Spirit wants to fill them afresh today, a new day. And they think, oh, well, I went to Reboot, and I heard from God, and he spoke, and I worshiped him like I've never worshiped before. Great. Well, what is he doing now in your life? Well, can't wait for next Reboot, right? Can't wait for the peak. Or what else? Maybe you're like, I had a quiet time. Well, when was your last quiet time? Well, it was maybe a month ago, you know, and I'm just trying to milk it a little bit, see if it rolls over to like maybe next Tuesday, and then I'll have another quiet time. And we live our lives constantly on spiritually low battery, and we're not living up to our full potential for what Jesus wants for us because we think, oh, it's just enough. If you aren't spending time with God daily, you're going to miss out. That's the truth. You think, well, like, I'm going to miss out if I am in the Bible because I'm missing out on Netflix. I'm missing out on hanging out with my friends. I'm missing out on these other things that I could be doing, but it's the opposite. If you miss out on time with God, I just call it quiet time with the Lord. If we miss out on that, then what are we doing? We're starving ourselves from a truth that God wants for us. Hey, in the back with the sweatshirt, I'm really glad you're here, man, but can you please respect up here and listen? I appreciate it, dude. And that's important. Because when we rely on that, we're starving ourselves spiritually. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time that you really had that time with God, where you studied his word, and you weren't just challenged by it, but you were changed by it? You say, well, it's been a while. You're running on empty, Christian. You're running on empty. Have you ever run out of gas before? I almost did a while back. I was driving from a video shoot. We were doing a video shoot for The Pursuit, And I'm driving down from the crest with a few people, Breezy and Eli, and I look down at my gas tank and it says 0 miles till empty. I'm like, dear God, we're going to die out here. You know, maybe we'll eat Eli or something first and we'll be okay. So we're just coasting, literally coasting down the hill to get to the gas station at the bottom. And thankfully, somehow miraculously, we got to the gas station okay. But that's how Christians tend to live. When was the last time you told somebody about Jesus? I think, well, it's been a while. Maybe. You're starving yourself. You're running dry when you could be filled today. You could be filled with the Holy Spirit. He wants to do a work in your life and overflow you like a hurricane in your life. He wants to change you. When was the last time that you had victory over that sin that continues to trip you up over and over again? You say, it's been a while since I've said no to that sin because I'm addicted to it. When was the last time you said no to that? He says, it's been a while. Well, Christian, you're on low power mode and you don't have to live that way any longer. You can live on Holy Spirit mode to have victory over sin, to have the name of Jesus on your lips because you've been meeting with him in your heart. When trials come, you're not going to be fazed by them. Yeah, they will come and they'll try to knock you down and they'll be rough and they'll be painful, they'll be difficult, but you'll stand firm because you have been filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what you need. And you ask maybe like, okay, how do I do that? How do I become filled with the Holy Spirit? Do I got to pray a prayer? Do I have to go look at a verse? Do I have to get anointed by Pastor Cody? Like, what do I do? How do I get filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, it's simple. Jesus said it. He said, ask. Ask. Ask God. And he, a loving father who loves his children, will by all means give you the Holy Spirit. Like what kind of dad gives their child a rock when they ask for a Chick-fil-A sandwich, right? It's like a horrible father. But God is not that father. He doesn't, you know, when we say, Lord, I need power. I'm struggling. I'm falling. I'm fading. The Father says, I'll give you the Holy Spirit. You just got to ask. He's there and he'll come to you and he'll overfill you so that you could be victorious in your life and look more like Jesus. Here's a crazy thought. I was thinking about this the other day. The Holy Spirit that we were once fighting is now filling you. Is that crazy to you? It's crazy to me. See, it says before we came to Christ that we were in opposition with God. We weren't called children of God. We were called children of wrath. And we were doing whatever was right in our own eyes. And the Holy Spirit made us his enemy. So we were fighting against the Holy Spirit that is now filling you today. What a crazy thought is that. You are now being filled to capacity and even above, if you ask, with the Holy Spirit that you were once fighting. And so, if the Holy Spirit that we were once fighting is now filling us, then why are we fighting the Holy Spirit now that we've been filled? How do we fight against the Holy Spirit? You know, the one thing that will keep you from being filled with the Holy Spirit is sin. Rebellion against God. Doing something in your own ways. Going against him, missing the mark. Sin will always keep you from having the Holy Spirit fill you in your life. What sin is that? Maybe it's several things. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's an idol, a person in your life, a relationship. What's blocking that? See, through sin, we grieve the Holy Spirit. Think about that. When you sin, you're grieving. As a child of God, if you've put your trust in Jesus, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. If you haven't put your trust in Jesus, you're an enemy of the Holy Spirit because you're fighting against him. But if you have been filled by him, you're grieving him by your sin. Through sin, we not only grieve the Holy Spirit, but we resist the Holy Spirit. Through sin, we fight against the Holy Spirit. But listen, through repentance, we welcome the Holy Spirit. Through repentance, we welcome him in our lives. Martin Luther, the great reformer, said the entire Christian life is repentance. And I think that's so good because, man, I sin a lot, okay? I sin a lot. And some of you are like, yes, you do. And I see it, you know? So I constantly need repenting. What is repentance? Well, it's making a U-turn. It's saying you're following your sinful desires, and then you turn around. You make a 180, and you start following God. You're saying, I'm not going to do it again by the grace of God inside of me. I'm going to change. I'm confessing. And when we do that, we welcome the Holy Spirit's presence in our life. We become filled with the Holy Spirit once again. So, is there sin that is causing power failure in your life? What sin is blocking the flow of the Holy Spirit from coming into you and filling you afresh? What is that? Again, maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's an idol. Maybe it's laziness. Maybe it's just apathy, and you're here and you're like, I don't really care. Or maybe it's something else. Maybe it's pride, self-righteousness, just being distracted by the cares of this world because everything else seems more important, more interesting. But you're blocking the flow where the glory comes out. You're blocking that flow of the Holy Spirit working in your life. And so it's time to repent of that sin. Repent of that tonight. Ask God to fill you afresh with his Holy Spirit, continually being filled. Have that relationship with the Holy Spirit that dwells in you if indeed you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Here's a second thing. Not only are we to keep on being filled, but we are also to keep on bearing fruit. Keep on bearing fruit. Let's look to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 25. If you have a Bible, open it up. This is kind of fun. I'm just kind of jumping around here. I think I'm going to fall eventually. But Galatians 5, 22 through 25. Let's read it together. But the fruit of the Spirit, Paul says, what's that word? Is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires, and now we live in the Spirit, so let us also keep in step, walk with the Spirit. We've been crucified with Christ, and the Holy Spirit now lives in us. So now, Christian, what are you doing? What kind of fruit are you bearing? Two things I want to tell you in this particular point on bearing fruit. Two things that we need to understand as Christians who have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. The first thing is this. Go where your fruit will grow, okay? Write that down. Go where your fruit will grow, because we know this in just general with actual fruit trees. They don't grow in every area, in every climate, in every season. You know, you can't have lemons in like Antarctica. That just won't happen because they'll freeze. They'll never even have life to begin with. It will never function that way. You can't have, you can have green chili in New Mexico. Love some green chili, but you can't have like bananas growing in New Mexico. It's too dry. They grow in tropical areas. Now, in the same way, the fruit of the Holy Spirit will grow when you're in the right place. What do I mean by that? Well, the fruit of the Holy Spirit will produce in you when you're in the Word and not in the world. Now, when I say world, I don't mean just like on earth, like with people. I mean the system. I mean the practice of the world. You know, the world is evil. It sets its desires against God. So when we're constantly being in the world and we're feeding on the things of this culture and society, and we're giving into all of our sexual desires, and we're just giving into everything because that's what the world says for us to do, we're not going to bear any fruit. Instead, we're going to produce works of the flesh, which Paul says, man, that's sexual immorality. That's greed. That's covetousness. That's lying. That's cheating. That's sin. It's missing God's mark. And when we continue to do things on our own and we're in the world, we're never going to bear fruit. Only when we're in God's word will we bear some good fruit. And that fruit will be evident in our lives. It'll come naturally, not mechanically, because it's not our works. It's just allowing the Holy Spirit to do his thing. And he's going to naturally produce fruit in our lives if we're in the right place. If you don't have time for God, if you don't have time to read the Bible, you say, I'm busy, you know, I got football, I got school, I got dance, I got all these extra things that I'm doing. If you don't have time to read the Bible, and those things are all good, by the way. Go and do it. Be busy. But if you don't have time to read the Bible and pray, you're not going to produce love in your life. If you do, it'll be fake. It'll be fragile. It'll break very quickly and turn into the real thing, which is lust, you know? That's the real part of those who continually walk by the flesh, is not love, but lust. If we're not spending time with our Creator, if we're not fellowshipping with him, if we're not having the Holy Spirit in us and being filled, we're never going to produce joy, just misery, just temporary happiness. We're not going to find peace, maybe for a bit, but it won't be eternal peace like Jesus gives. It'll be worldly peace, which breaks very easily and turns into something completely different. If you're constantly in the world practicing the things of the world, you're not going to bear fruit. You're going to produce works of the flesh. So here's basically what I'm saying. Christian, have your quiet time, okay? Have your quiet time. Spend time with God, because then you'll see a change in your life. Then you'll produce fruit in your life. Spend time with him in prayer, in reading scripture, and just taking time to worship him and thank him for all he is. Listen, if you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, then you're going to be a different person. You're going to look not like the old Kelly Bransford, not like the old you, but you're going to look like the new creation in Christ Jesus. What does that look like? Well, for one, you're going to be loving. You're going to be kind if the Holy Spirit's working inside of you. You know, I get so frustrated, and mostly it's in myself when I see mean Christians, rude Christians who are just jerks. I think, like, that shouldn't work. Like, you shouldn't, and I know, like, I'm a hypocrite, right? I mean, preaching this because I'm like, man, sometimes I could be a jerk as a Christian. And we have our moments. But if we're continuing to live that way, man, we're not living by the Spirit at all. We're living by our own flesh, and that gives way to death. That gives way to disaster. That gives way to a miserable life, and not anything that pleases God at all. Not the way the temple should be living. You say, well, I'm not a nice person, Kelly. People aren't nice. Okay. All right. Well, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. Okay. And I think the best thing for you to do is to repent of that so that God can fill you afresh so that you can be a nice person. I think it's kind of like, it seems simple, but oh, it's so difficult because Paul says earlier, the spirit and the flesh are constantly at war with each other. And so it's like, are you going to be a jerk today? Are you going to be a nice person today? Right. Are you going to wear the law and condemnation? Are you going to wear grace today? Are you going to be impatient with people and selfish? You're going to be loving and full of joy and peace and goodness and gentleness. Well, it depends on what you're feeding, and it depends on where you're going. If you're going to the Word, you're going to God, you will get that kind of fruit. You say, well, I don't know. Like, I'm an anxious person. Life is hard. Life is stressful. How can I have peace all the time as a Christian? Now, I understand life is stressful. I understand life can be super anxious at times. I can be anxious because of life circumstances at times. I know that. So go where your fruit will grow. Get in the Word. Spend some time doing that. Don't spend all your time on, like, social media, because let me tell you from experience, and you probably know this already, it doesn't help your situation. You're feeling anxious. You're feeling stressed out. You're feeling overwhelmed by the weight of life. Getting on social media all the time and constantly refreshing it, it's not going to give you any kind of peace or any kind of rest for your soul. Only God can do that. I'm not saying social media is bad. I'm just saying, man, go where your fruit's going to grow and spend some time there. Here's the second thing. Alongside this same note, keep on bearing fruit. And that's this. Feed the hungry. Okay? Write that down. Feed the hungry. Let me tell you something. I, Kelly Bransford, hate sharing food, okay? I just don't like it. I get so stressed out. I become like a very worldly Christian when, you know, my wife and I go out to eat and she's like, why don't we just share a plate? And I'm like, woman, I'm hungry. We're not going to share a plate because I'm not going to get filled on, you know, whatever you want. And usually she's like, let's get like a little light chicken salad. I'm like, we're not going to share that. I want like ribs, okay? Like, I'm not sharing my food with anybody. Pray for me, okay?
That's it.
Pray for me. I need the Holy Spirit. But here's the thing. The fruit of the Spirit that we produce is meant to be shared. It's not just for you. In fact, it's not even about you. Yes, you get the benefits of living a life that is full of joy and peace and patience and goodness, even though life is rough and painful at times. But that fruit that you produce, if you're living with the Holy Spirit under the spout, right, where that glory comes out, then you're going to be producing something good. And it's not for you, it's for others around you. It's for this world, for a lost world, a dying world, Christians who are hurting, Christians who are feeling anxious, Christians who are feeling stressed out or afraid, it's for them. When the Holy Spirit governs your life, listen, you're going to start loving your enemies. I promise you that. You have enemies in your life. You have somebody that you just don't like that gets on your nerves. We all do. Cody. No, I'm just kidding. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, I don't even know why I said that. I'm sorry, Cody. I love you, man. When the Holy Spirit, thanks, man. When the Holy Spirit governs your life, listen, you're going to start loving your enemies. You're going to start having joy in the midst of a miserable world that is searching for happiness at every corner. You're going to have joy, and they're going to see it, and they're going to wonder why, how. How is that joy even possible when that person's going through what they're going through? Oh, I have the Holy Spirit. I'm living under that spout. I'm being filled again and again. I'm not a good person. I'm a saved person. I'm a redeemed person because of what Jesus did in my life. And now his Holy Spirit lives in me and works these things in me. Let me tell you about it. When we have the Holy Spirit leading our lives, the world's going to look to us when everything's falling apart. And we see the news getting worse and worse and worse every single day. And the world's going to look and say, how come that person has peace? I don't get it. Well, it's fruit for them to give that to them, to show them that peace is attainable. And it's not found in anything that we can do, but it's found in who we know. And that's the Holy Spirit, God working in our lives. When the Holy Spirit's directing your steps, you're going to be patient with people who are annoying, who get on your nerves. You're going to be able to stand against them, not against them. You're going to be able to stand with them and have comfort and patience for them. People are going to marvel at you for how kind and how good and how gentle and how faithful and how meek that you are in your life. What is it? They're going to marvel. I think that Jesus said it, right? The world's going to see you. And they're going to give glory to your Father in heaven because of that. They'll know that you're my disciples, Jesus said, by the love that you have. If you abide, if you're abiding. So when the Holy Spirit's filling you, listen, you're going to look like Jesus. When the Holy Spirit is filling your life, you better believe you're going to look like Jesus, because those are the characteristics of Jesus. Jesus is full of love. Jesus is the definition of peace. The definition of self-control, meekness, strength, under control. That's what you'll be. You'll have those characteristics because, hey, that's the Holy Spirit's job. That's always been his job, right? Pointing people to Jesus. Let me tell you something. This is crazy. Maybe you don't think it's crazy. I think it's crazy. The Holy Spirit is the advocate for the Son, okay? And when I say the Son, I mean Jesus. What do I mean by advocate? Someone who defends, someone who fights for, someone who's a representative for, someone who talks about and represents in every way. He's our spokesperson, right? He's the spokesperson for the Son. The Holy Spirit is the advocate for the Son. Now, the Son is our advocate. Is our advocate. He fights for us. You better believe it. And when God looks at us, because Jesus is our advocate, he sees Jesus' righteousness. Because Jesus is like, what's up? It's me, right? I'm with them. I'm with you. I'm your advocate. Now, here's the crazy thing. So because the Holy Spirit is the advocate for the Son and the Holy Spirit dwells in you, then what must that mean? The work that he does in your life is going to be what he always does best, pointing people to Jesus, being a spokesperson for Jesus, fighting hard for the name of Christ. And guess what? If you're letting the Holy Spirit do his job in you, that's what you'll be doing. You'll be telling people about Jesus. You believe that? Anybody? Does that excite anybody in here? Because it excites me, man. That's some cool stuff. I think that's amazing. That's his work, to point to Jesus. So that people around us can taste and see that the Lord is good. So they can see, man, Jesus really is alive. I can see it because he's living in that person. And the way that they love, not the way that they preach, not the way that they, you know scripture of, like, you know, they memorize it and they come to church and they got this Bible that's like huge. It's bigger than like them, you know. That's not the point. They're going to see your kindness and your character and say, wow, that can't be made up. That's the real deal. And it's because Jesus is working in you. The Holy Spirit is working in you. God the Father is working in you all together so that you would bring glory to him. In Genesis chapter 24, I think of the story of Abraham. See, Abraham, I don't even know if this like illustration works perfectly, but I found it kind of refreshing to me as I looked at this story in Genesis 24. I see Abraham sending his oldest, wisest servant, who was in charge of all of that Abraham had. He sends him to go down to Abraham's hometown to find a wife for Isaac, his son. And so the servant goes down to the hometown of Abraham, and he's looking around, and he meets a beautiful young woman named Rebecca. And he, as the servant is going up to her, he gives her some gifts, and he's just kind of like there by the well. He's talking to her, but he's not talking about himself. He's talking about Isaac, right? Like, who cares about the old servant, right? I mean, not really, because he's not pointing the attention to himself. He's pointing the attention to Isaac. He's saying, check it out, like, my master back home, like, you're going to really like him, you know? And I've been sent here by the main master of the house, you know, because he wants me to find a bride for his son. And look how amazing he is. Look at all the stuff that he has. Isaac's a really cool guy. You might like him. You know, he's easy on the eyes. And he's just talking him up and talking him up and talking him up. And so finally, Rebecca decides, I'm going to go with you. I want to go with you because, like, man, that's exciting. That's exciting because he seems amazing. And so she goes back and she ends up getting married to Isaac. And it's a beautiful love story. But I just think, man, isn't that a picture of the Holy Spirit? I mean, maybe it's flawed. Maybe it's not complete. But I think the Holy Spirit's work, he's sent from the Father to us. He's sent to us. And he doesn't speak about himself. He speaks about Jesus. He speaks about the Son. And he continues to say, oh, you know, Jesus, 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 look at the blessings and the riches and the glory that you have in Jesus. And he leads us to him. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what he does best, is he always puts the focus on Christ. And so, again, as children of God who have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, man, that work of that servant should be our work as well. Why? Not because we're the advocate for the Son. No, not at all. But because the advocate for the Son dwells in us, and we have power to share the name of Jesus. And we have his character so that the world can see us and marvel and taste and see that God is good, that Jesus is wonderful. So will we do that? Will we stand up as his church and say, man, I want to decrease so that he can increase in my life? Now, if you're here tonight and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, maybe you've been sitting here and you're like, I don't understand this stuff, and I don't really care. Let me tell you something. God loves you. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you're sitting right now, but I want to tell that person, those people in this room, that God is crazy about him. That he sent Jesus to this earth to die on the cross 2,000 years ago so that you could be forgiven of your sin. Your sin leads to hell. Your sin leads to death, separation. But in Jesus, you can have life and life abundantly. God wants to adopt you into his family. It doesn't happen by signing up for a registry here at the church. It doesn't happen by reading a certain amount of scriptures every day. It comes from surrendering to God and allowing the Holy Spirit to come in and make you a new person because of what Jesus did on the cross for you. And so if you're in here tonight and you're like, I've never done that, but God, I need it. Just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. You're saying, I need it. I'm done living for myself. That's all I've been doing, is living like the world and living for myself. But I realize that I'll never find true fulfillment. I'll never try and find true love anywhere else except in Jesus. If you want that assurance that you're a child of God, just raise your hand so I can pray with you. Anybody in here? Right here on the end. I see your hand, man. That's awesome. Anybody else? Anybody else? Listen, here's the gospel. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That he gave his only son. So that whoever believes in him should not die in their sin, but have everlasting life. Do you want everlasting life? I mean, it's hard to say no to that. It's hard to say no to the God who only wants to love you and you know, create in you a new person. A God who wants you to live up to the reason that you were created. It's hard to say no to that. So if you want to say yes to him tonight, just raise that hand in the air. I want to pray with you. Anybody else? If he's tugging on your heart, you got to answer that. Right here. Oh, that's incredible. Anybody else? In the back, I see your hand. Surrendering, that's what it is. It's surrendering. In the back over here, man. God bless you, dude. Anybody else? It doesn't matter what people are saying. It matters what God's saying. It matters what God says about you. That's it. Because, man, the people you're sitting around, in a few years, I mean, where are they going to be, right? And what does that matter in the midst of eternity, compared to eternity? What does it even matter what people think? If you need God, give your life to him. The Bible says now is the acceptable time. Now's the day. Don't wait any longer. Jesus loves you. Anybody in here? Anybody else? I know a lot of hands have been raised. Is there anybody else? Right here. God bless you, man. Let's pray. If that was you, if you raised your hand, I just want you to bow your head. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes so that we're not distracting. I just want you to say it to the Lord. Remember, it's not a prayer that saves you. It's a surrendered heart and a trust in Jesus Christ that will save you. And all you got to do is call out to him and just say, Father, I'm sorry. God, I've been doing things my own way. Forgive me. I believe that Jesus came to this world 2,000 years ago and he died in my place. And his blood and his death is enough for me. Come into my life, O Holy Spirit. Make me a new creation. I want to live for you, God, today and for the rest of my life. Help me. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.